Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Lisa, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you for accepting my application. I was just unbelievably delighted when Pat emailed me back almost instantly. So thanks for the opportunity.
I'm so excited to talk to you. First, tell me, how did you find Organize 365?
On YouTube, I was in a mess at work. My office desk was piling up, shuffling paper piles the whole time, not sure what to focus on. So I was hoping email would guide me and, get hundreds of emails a day. So I was just all over the place, really lacked focus. And I got sick and I was on the couch thinking, some way I've got to do this better. So I searched office organization on YouTube and your Friday Workbox clip came up and I was just instantly, it resonated with me. I'm like, yes, that is really going to do the trick for me. And listened to a couple of your clips, had a look on your website and got started the next day. I was hooked.
Wow, you are a fast action taker.
I was just in that right energy, that right place. I was ready for change. What I was doing was not working. I had to try something new. So yeah, I was there. Set it up, went to the shop, set it up the next day.
Okay, so what kind of a business are you in?
I'm a farmer and I haven't found other farmers in the community. So that's one reason I really wanted to have an interview with you, was to say, this system is brilliant for us. Farmers are small business people. We're employers. There's a very small number of people in a farming business. So I do everything. I do the hiring, the HR, all the things you talk about on building a business, the insurance and the risk and the pricing and the getting the sales and doing all the administration. Plus our staff come and live with us, not in our house, but, on the property with us. So we've got people coming, going every day. They're mostly in our business drive tractors. So they're out in the field, but they eat with us. So we provide meals and accommodation for them. So there's just so many facets.
Wow.
Of the business that we do.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think about that. Okay, first, tell me about the people who live in your home with you. And then second, tell me where your farm is located and like how big it is and how many people we're talking about.
My husband and I live at home. We've got two teenage children, a daughter and a son, but we live 100 kilometres from our nearest town and 700 kilometres from our nearest city. So our children live away at boarding school. Okay. They go away for high school at age about 11, 12. They just come home for school holidays and we've got lots of dogs and cats. There's no livestock on our farm. We're all crop. So a lot of tractor driving at our place. And we are in the western half of Australia, Western Australia, right down on the south coast. If you think of a map of Australia, it looks like a shark's bitten the bottom part off. We call that the Great Australian Bight. And we're just on the left-hand side of that on the coast. It's a magnificent part of the world and we have often one world's best beaches. It's just amazing white sand and azure blue water.
So how big is your farm?
17,000 acres.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Medium size. That's medium size for Australia. And we grow wheat for bread and noodles. A lot of our wheat goes to Asia to make two-minute noodles or yellow noodles. And canola, you might call it rapeseed. We call it canola for oil, cooking oil. And there's other products grown all around us, but they're the two that we focus on.
Okay, you mentioned that your teenage kids go away to school, to boarding school. Yep. Is that typical in Australia or just typical in farming communities?
Typical in farming communities, yeah, okay. Just because of the distance. If they went to the school 100 kilometres away, they'd have almost 2 hours on the bus morning and 2 in the afternoon. So then they can't participate in sports and arts and music and all those things. So if they live at a boarding school away, they're with other kids their age 7 days a week, and they can just try everything, do all the sports, all the acting and singing,
yeah,
music, whatever you like. They can try everything.
How long have you been in the farming? Like, is farming something your family has done all the way back to the beginning of time? Okay, so is it both your family farm, your husband's? Okay.
It's my husband's family farm, but we're both generational farmers, you know, for many generations we've been in the industry. Yep.
Do you think your kids will follow along?
I think they will. We're not forcing them to. It's definitely their choice. My son is 13 and he said, "Dad, I think I want to be a farmer, but I'm going to do it differently to you. Is that going to be all right with you?" And we're like, absolutely, yeah. You know, brilliant. And my daughter is really business minded. Yeah, she says, "Oh, we're just going to take this to the next level, Mum."
Yeah. This is so great. So farming is such an essential industry. I mean, we have to eat, right? And I think that everybody has now realized that a lot of grain in Europe comes from Ukraine, which I did not know that months ago, but I think many of us do. And I know there are many farmers in the United States that also listen to the Organized 365 podcast. I know we have a large population in Iowa, which actually my grandfather was on a farm, grew up on a dairy farm. So I heard stories about that. So yeah. Lisa's calling out all of the farmers. She would like you guys on the app to talk to each other.
Yeah, let us know what you do. Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned that your employees come and they live and eat with you. Like, you guys do life together, which is really fascinating to me. Are they there year round or just during harvest time, or how does that work?
We probably have 8 months of the year we have people, and then when it's harvesting we have quite a few, say 7 or 8 more people come, and then they'll go away. Usually they're backpackers in the pandemic, a little different, but they're traveling Australia, they want an experience, and they might have tractor skills or come from their own farming backgrounds, and then they'll go and travel a bit more, and then we'll get some different people in for another 4 months or so. So they come and go. It's a real lot of cycles that work with the seasons, which I really like, that ebb and flow.
Yes. Okay. So fascinating. As a business owner to business owner, it is so fun. I was just talking to our team this morning about how much I love the culture we have here at Organized 365, and how, you know, over the last 2 years, we've been able to flex with what each family needs and what our company needs, and kind of make sure that it all meshes together. And small companies like ours that don't have, you know, like hundreds of employees and all of this, we really do have seasons throughout the year to our business. And we keep jumping into different hats that we wear, because like in slower seasons, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to do all these things I wouldn't do in a busier season, because, you know, somebody's got to do them. And there isn't necessarily income to hire people at that time, because the money comes in those same kind of waves. And I have been thinking a lot about the Friday Workbox and who it is really for and who it best serves. And there have been some really large companies that are trying to think about how to incorporate the Friday Workbox into like teams inside of these like huge global brands. And I finally have realized, you know, if the team leader really wants to do that and they understand the Friday Workbox and they can equate that to the corporate culture, it will be successful inside of that team. But to think that the Friday Workbox is how Fortune 50 companies in the world are going to run, no. It is such a help for the entrepreneur. And then if the entrepreneur's team uses workboxes and they all speak the same language, it facilitates the communication of the entrepreneur to a small growing team. And I think you do hit a certain size where you need different systems that are, you know, definitely digital, which I'm not digital, and they're just different. But this idea of taking a solopreneurship and having a team that you manage, the workbox really helps make visible all of these different projects
and roles and responsibilities you have in your head as an entrepreneur that you then can either keep during times when you're slower or seasons where you're slower, and then pass off to other people with speed and then collect them back and know who's got which slash pockets at what time. So you can kind of like manage the workload that way is the vision I've been having lately. Is that how you use it? How do you use it?
I have a, I haven't made it, but I feel like putting on my door or my office a pinwheel with an arrow. Which department is Lisa in today? Is she in HR, insurance, or crisis management, or whatever? Yeah. I kind of feel like each slash pocket is one of those, like, right, it's insurance today. Yeah, I'll, here it is. There is always, because I'm doing so many different tasks, the mental juggling was sometimes I manage it really well, and then sometimes it becomes too much. And that's when I was looking for this kind of solution. And that's why it just resonated so quickly with me, because I can unload all that mental juggling and think clearly on the one task I'm at today. And it's so variable. It's just too much up there going on. So as soon as I put it all in my slash pockets, the mental load and the anxiety and the stress just came right down. And it was almost within days I found my focus had improved, and the difference was so significant. It's not complicated, but I'd never been in a position where I had some kind of system taught to me. I studied science at university. I have worked in an accountant's office, and they taught me a lot about archiving and filing for the long term. But I didn't, in that position at least, get taught about active work papers, what you're doing right now. And this has just fit that gap so beautifully.
Now, the slash pocket you pulled out was empty.
Not exactly empty. I'm paperless.
No, see, that's what I want you to talk about. Yes.
I'm less paper.
Okay.
I'm not paperless.
Love it. Good job, Lisa.
Big difference. So I've got a little note here. Cost of production is filed with the maps in the RAIN file. So it's in my computer. When I need to work on it, that's where I go inside the computer to find the spreadsheet that I was doing. So that's how I make it work with my digital, you know, if it's something that I do on my computer, if I have a thought and I want to put it in the slash pocket, it's all together, but I want to work on it on my spreadsheet on the computer. And my friends are all asking me, how does that work digital? I said, well, that's what I do.
Yes, that's why I wanted to ask you, because I have like my Friday workboxes behind me. It's like they're a lot more than 25 slash pockets in there, let me just tell you. But more than half of them are empty. But they're just reminders like, oh yeah, I need to check on this team, make sure they're doing this, or this is an idea that we're going to do next quarter. So I just want to remember that this is like a project we're doing next quarter, but there's nothing there yet. And so I don't have to remember it. I don't have to go find some to-do list. I don't have to look on something like, I could just see it. And why that benefits me, and you tell me if it's the same for you, is because I will literally stand there on Friday. I'll take everything out and I'll touch each one and I'll put them back in and be like, yep, not this week, not this week, not this week, because I cannot get done in 1 week everything that I really realistically maybe even should get done. There's just not enough hours. So these slash pockets that sometimes I do every single night, it's like, okay, well, great. These 8 slash pockets could get done tomorrow, but they're not going to. So which ones have to? And it's a constant prioritization between what you want to do and what you could do and what you absolutely have to do and need to do. And it's just such an easy, fast way for me to do that without thinking about it and processing it. I just like, I get down to where I have like 5 slash pockets. I'm like, nope, still have to take another one away. Okay, well, which one can wait until I get down to an amount where I'm like, yep, that's what I could do tomorrow. Okay, move on. And just keep moving on.
Very much. It's helped me prioritize. I'm not my personality type. I'm not great at prioritizing. I think everything's a good idea. Yes. And I overestimate my capacity. And I think I'm smart, I'm capable, I can do everything,
yes,
but I forget that I can't do it all in 1 week. So, and I'm not good at estimating how much time each task will take, but from workbox planning, that's something I am really keen to follow over some months or years, how long each task takes. And my tasks are actually getting done more quickly because I'm focusing better. So that's really noticeable for me. And with prioritizing, I love new ideas. I take on ideas quite quickly and implement them because I think everything's a great idea and get really excited. This has allowed me to visually see how full my plate is because a big stack of white printed paper doesn't give any visual representation of that, whereas, oh, my God, I have got five purple projects going here.
Yep.
Friend rings me and say, hey, do you want to volunteer in this great cause? And normally I would go, yeah, that sounds amazing. And now I go, that does sound amazing, but I've got five things going on here, so I'm really sorry I'll have to pass on that. And I don't feel guilty anymore.
Good.
So that has made just an amazing change to the way I'm doing things, and I'm getting projects finished. And I love that. Finish the purple project and get it out of the box so you can put another one in, because I do have a really big list of pink ideas, you know, that I want to implement. And my husband and our other key business people, I've explained the box to them. They actually come and look and go, I don't think I'll ask you to do that such and such. I think I'll go and to town and ask someone to do that. And that's never happened before, and that's amazing. Thank you.
Oh, wow. I have never heard that. Okay. I want to circle back to something else you said. You said your tasks are getting done faster.
Yes.
And did you say at a deeper level? Because I'm finding that too. Like when you pull out a slosh pocket, like you just said, you would pull out that spreadsheet and maybe some ideas would be stuck in there when you're going to go work on that spreadsheet. So here's what I found that I'm doing also. Because I'm doing just the slosh pocket or just the one task versus trying to cross off as many things on my to-do list as possible, I allocate time on my calendar for that slosh pocket. So like the night before, I fill in like any open spaces with what I think the work is going to be done. And then I figure out if that's going to be 15 minutes, 30, 45, an hour and a half, like everything I give a time. And then when I'm to the end of that task, but the time has not run out, instead of going to the next task, I will often ask myself, or I would say, okay, is there anything else I need to do this? Is there anybody else that needs to know what I just did? Is there any other place I need to update this information? And I normally would not have done that. I would have gone to the next task, next task, next task. And then people would be like, did you finish that? Did you do this? Oh yeah, I forgot to let you know. I forgot to update our internal form. So now I not only finish the task, but I finish it completely so that when I put that slash pocket back, I really legitimately don't need to pull it out again because I forgot or didn't finish it completely. I didn't cross off the to-do. I actually did it all the way through.
Yeah. Yep. I'm definitely able to do that. And I don't know if you can see here, I've written on the front of mine, give yourself grace, progress over perfection.
Love it.
And the progress one is really important for me because I would fuss around with the fine details that mattered to me, but I wouldn't actually finish the project, so they weren't progressing. So now I'm more focused. I'm thinking, let's get this to a point where I can progress it and I actually forward it on and I send the document and I tell the person and email it to the five people I'm meant to email it to. So I'm really, rather than wasting that last 20% of the time fluffing about going, oh, I'm not sure if it's good enough, I just go, no, progress it and push it on. And no one else seems to notice those finer points of perfection that I was striving for, which are stupid and impossible, but they are noticing that I'm getting things finished and action is happening. Yeah, and it feels good.
Okay, so if people are watching on YouTube and if you guys are listening to this podcast, you can go check out on YouTube. So Lisa, you're in Australia. We actually started talking before we were recording. You're obviously not pulling out the Organized 365 slash pockets. You own the Organized 365 slash pockets. But you aren't pulling them out because you're in Australia. And I now know your paper is bigger than ours and doesn't actually even fit in our box, which I did not know.
So if I had Lisa's slash pocket, my paper would stick out about this much and get all scruffy at the ends. No one likes that.
So Lisa's given me some ideas of Australian businesses I could partner with to make something that's going to fit those. So give me time. I'm always Australians. I'm always working to figure out how to make this work for you. But this leads to another international difference, which is when you first found the workbox, I never thought about this, but it was in December where Christmas and the harvest season collide in the United States. That's not a deal. Like our harvest season is like in the fall and then we like enjoy the merriment of Christmas, not what's happening over in Australia. So what is it like as an entrepreneur who's learning from coaches around the world that are on a totally different seasonal time frame than you are? Because I'm always trying to figure out like, how do I make this more relevant? But it's so hard for me to really realize that you guys are in winter right now and I'm in summer. Like I just cannot, it's so hard to understand.
Don't try and translate it for us. That's part of the fun. And I Google some of the terms if I haven't heard of them. And, you know, I'm learning new stuff. And I feel like more connected with the world because I'm learning about things that go on there. So you don't need to translate for us, I don't think. I think we're quite lucky because our school year matches our calendar year. And listening to you, I realize yours is not like that at all. You know,
so school starts, what does that mean?
Okay. School starts in February and finishes in December. So one school year is inside one calendar year.
Oh, so your kids are off the month of December and January?
Yes. That's how summer.
So they get to celebrate the holidays and the new year because it's also summer.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's good.
And then do they get other breaks? When are there other breaks?
Yes. They have four school terms. So April, July, October are our school holidays, usually about 2 weeks each time.
So 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. And then how long in December and January? 8 weeks?
Seven or 8 weeks. Yep.
So each term is how long?
Between 8 and 10 weeks. They're not identical.
Okay.
They've fluctuated a bit.
Fascinating. Yeah. The more I learn, the more I learn that I know nothing.
Now, something I wanted to tell you about Australia, you've asked in some podcasts, how digital are other countries?
Yes.
And we are able to submit so many forms online. You're probably the same. So we can send information to the government and to doctors and hospitals and insurance companies, licensing for vehicles. We can send it all online. But if they want to find something out about you, they can't read each other's stuff. So having a medical binder or a business binder is still really relevant and really useful. My daughter's got some special needs and my husband had a nasty accident some years ago and having some kind of binder was so valuable. So there's no problem with relevance. They are really good products.
Okay, good. Okay, that's good to know. All right. So when was the first time you started setting up the system? Immediately you noticed the reduction in the amount that you're trying to keep in your head. What was the first time that you noticed something was organized that had not been organized before?
My husband asked me for a form. And normally I would get that big pile of papers on my desk and I'd go, don't go away. It's here somewhere. And, you know, you're shuffling it like a deck of cards going, yeah, I saw it. Meanwhile, your brain's getting more confused and your stress is going up and your self-esteem is going down. But that first day, I went, oh, yeah, here it is. And oh, felt so good.
Did he just like, okay, and walk out or did he go, wait, what?
No, his eyebrows went up like, what?
Oh, my goodness.
Whatever it is, Lisa, I like it.
What story do you most want to share about this organizational journey you've been on?
I get anxiety and I've tried all kinds of techniques to manage that and with moderate success. And I've never really known why I have this anxiety, but my family have all noticed how much happier and calmer and more at peace I seem since I've started doing this. My sisters have asked, wow, you're in a good place. What's going on? What's different? And then I said, I think it's the box. And they're like, box? what? But the mental load is just mm-hmm. so much. And just that analogy of juggling or spinning plates mm-hmm. is such a heavy drain on your brain and your personal capacity that I am sure this has just like brought that right down, and I can just feel satisfied at the end of every day and I sleep better. And you know, really? Sleep is so important, and when you sleep better, everything comes together better. So I'm making better decisions, I'm better company, I'm listening better because I'm just not distracted by all of that stuff that I was trying to remember. I'm talking to my sister, but I don't forget to do this and this and this and this.
Yes.
Because it's sitting in the box. And I trust that when I'm ready and I've got time on my schedule, I will go back to that and it will be there.
Yeah, I'm a much better listener now than I used to be.
I've only been doing this since December, so it's nearly 6 months. And so that's not long, and it's made a significant improvement to my life. Thank you.
Wow. Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. So less than 6 months.
Yeah. The change was noticeable to my friends and family within 2 months, if that, 4 weeks. Yeah.
How long did it take you to sit down and be like, okay, this is a pink thing, this is a purple thing? Like,
I didn't get too hung up on that. I thought it will evolve if I keep trying. At first I thought, I don't need pink. I don't have leads for my business. I don't need to find new opportunities. And then I realized I've got all these myriad of ideas for my community and the volunteer jobs that I do that I wanted to implement. And I'm like, that's my pink. So now I have quite a few pink/pockets. My job involves a lot of repetitive tasks and finance, bookkeeping, form filling, doing the taxes. We have GST, goods and services tax. I don't know if mm-hmm. you have that. We have 10% on everything that we give to the government. And yeah, so GST needs to be done every month. It's a tax collection kind of, they have VAT in England. It's similar to right. VAT. And so I thought I had one green/pocket for all my administrative tasks. Now I've got about 20. and that has really helped speed up my work. Stephanie Ardwin, I really enjoy the Friday sessions, which I watch on replay because of the time difference. But instead of having one, I don't know if you can see, I've got loads yeah. here. I had one checklist with one tick box for all of these slash pockets in the past. And now I have one slash pocket for each task with kind of 20 broken down smaller tasks on it. Uh-huh. And I tick it off as I go. And that took a little while to develop. But every time I did one of these tasks, I thought I'll break down what's required for each job. So if I get a phone call in the middle of it, or someone comes in to ask a question, or I get called out to the paddock and I come back in, it would have taken me half an hour or more to work out what I was doing, where I was at. And sometimes I'd forget what I was doing and I'd do the wrong task. And anyway, now I just leave this on my in front of my computer. I've ticked my way down the list and I can just resume where I was at straight away, losing so much less time. And I'm not forgetting things. That's taken a little while to develop, but so worth it. So, so worth it. And because I'm feeling calm, I've been able to write those processes down without too much trouble. Probably in the past, I would have thought that was very so A-type, so controlling, you know, over the top. But now I realize it's just efficient and it speeds up what I'm doing and gives me time to do the things I was uniquely created to do.
So let me tell you what's coming next after this, because this is, I mean, like, you are like a carbon copy of what I did 20 years ago when I created the original Sunday Basket. And then I did this in my direct sales business the same exact way. I just took all the actionables I had and I put them in separate slash pockets. Then I started to make better checklists. Then I started to get to the point where I could just pull it out and do it. So now that you could just pull it out and do it, you should be able to pull out, or you could be able to pull out, like, I don't know, 5 hours a week of work that you do that is now just totally systematized and you know exactly what to do. And now you can hire an assistant because you know exactly what they would do, how much time it's going to take, and how much it should cost you. So if it takes you 5 hours a week to do it, and you hire an assistant for 10 hours a week, let's say, because it may take them twice as long to do it to begin with.
Yeah.
And then it will take you, you know, that 10 hours a week to train them to do these things. But then 90 days from now, those 5 hours a week are now yours again permanently because they are doing it. And as you start to systematize each other thing and it gets to the point where you could just go in and just do it, then you'd be like, oh, okay, I can give that to the assistant, that to the assistant, that. And then that is where you get the capacity for the pink. Because yeah. if you don't outsource those over to an assistant or a team member of some point, then your capacity gets, it's landlocked. And so this is why pink ideas become purple projects. And then purple projects are your customers. And when you get good at balancing your pink and purple and only having five purple, then you get to the capacity where you can manage a team, which is blue. And this is exactly what happens. Your pink becomes your purple. You systematize your work, and then you're able to hand it off to a team member. Now you have a blue slosh pocket for the assistant, and all those slosh pockets go over in their box. So you can literally see the work go from you to them. And this is why this workbox is so good for entrepreneurs, because it makes you take your idea all the way to a systematized level. But let me just tell you, Lisa, in 90 days, if you're still doing all those greens, you're going to be like, it's just not the way your brain works. Your brain is, you're an entrepreneur. You're used to creating work and taking ideas yeah. and making them something that is actually in the community. So as soon as something gets to a point where you have it that systematized, it's time to move it on to an employee.
I really heard that and believed it in your podcast, but I thought, oh, but my job's a bit different. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But as I'm going along and I'm listening again to your podcast while I'm working, I'm like, it is happening. It's happening.
It is happening.
Right. Yeah.
And the longer you try to keep it in your head and just balance it, and then if you try to hire somebody because they're good at a skill and you think they'll just plug in your business and do it, like I've done it personally, I've watched all my entrepreneurial friends do it, it doesn't work because you think you've communicated what you want done as an entrepreneur. You have not. You have not communicated it at all. There's a lot of things still in your head that you think they know, or you think they know about your business that they do not know. And often you set up employees for failure because you have not made your brain external enough for them to even understand what it is you want to do. And I don't care how people, like, this is how I do it. Like, you give those 20 green slosh pockets to the person over the course of 90 days. You say, this is how I do it. This is what I want the end product to do. These are the checklists I use. A lot of times my team members will come up with different processes, different checklists. They'll make it their own. I really don't care. As long as it gets done and about double the time of what I did when I was doing it, I don't care how you get it done as long as it's done. So it's getting it to the point where you can externalize it from your brain for someone else to take it over and then letting go of the how they do it. Because if you keep the how they do it, you micromanage them and you just squash the relationship from the beginning.
You may as well have done it yourself if you're going to micromanage. Yes. About 10 years ago, I was not enjoying all the cooking and cleaning and looking after little children. I felt like my unique purpose was just being too squashed. So I decided there was too much to do, too little time. Which part will I focus on? And I decided to get a housekeeper. And my husband and my family said, oh my God, how are we going to afford a housekeeper? And I said, I've thought it through. If I'm not doing those tasks, which yes. I don't enjoy, I will be so much better and more productive at the tasks I do enjoy. So give me 6 months, I will make this cost yep. effective. And it did work. And I just need to, exactly what you said, I hope one day the administration will take the same course. And now you've helped me find the processes to take the next step. Yeah.
Okay. So one more, the next piece after that, because that one is like ready for you to hire tomorrow, by the way, anyways, but I'm thinking in your cycle, you're in winter. So this is not, so it's not a busy season for you, but actually that's the best time for you to hire. So if you could find somebody that only wants to work like 5-10 hours a week and do just the administrative, you actually have the time right now, I would think, in your harvesting season to yes, actually train that.
We've just finished yes. planting seed. And cold, wet time is a great time to do administration.
mm-hmm. Perfect time to source. So then your second thing, now I'm coaching. So your second thing is, because you've now learned how to progress things instead of make them perfect, and you have five purple, then now that you're progressing them out to the team that you already have, you will, if you can get the green out, you will be able to handle seven purple because you will keep them going. And what I found is as the business owner, there's this constant tension between the projects that are already in the company that you need to give them the amount of time in order to do them to an excellent level. And your team will always do them a little bit more perfectly than you would because they're more singularly focused. They're not like as globally focused as you are. But then your capacity to be able to manage more people and more projects allows different departments to go forward. So now inside of Organize 365, we probably have 20 purple slash pockets that I actually have the purple slash pockets for, but I'm only actually doing actionables on three and the team is doing 17, but I am managing that many purple slash pockets. I'm just not actually doing the actionables. And our leadership people are each managing five purples inside of their departments.
Yes.
It's really cool because it streamlines the business and then it gives you like a road to run on. And then you could start running multiple roads at some point. You can literally, with your own eyes, through slash pockets, watch the business grow. It's so fun.
Yeah, I can see it. And I really believe it. And I did a talk to my peer group last week about the business workbox. And they said, why are you bringing a box to talk to us? And I said, just come along, please. You know, just give me the 40 minutes and you'll see. And yeah, I was able to explain where I wanted to take it. And it can be as simple as you like, and it can be as sophisticated as your capacity and imagination takes it. And yeah, that was very rewarding sharing how good it was with my peer group. We have a Esperance Farm office managers. So women within a couple of hour radius of our town who do the same job come together monthly and share ideas. So I was able to share this with them last week. Yeah,
just very excited. Lisa, what do you think you have more of now?
Confidence in my abilities, faith in myself, that's for sure. Grace for myself. Oh, my goodness. I punished myself with shoulds and should have before. And now I've pretty much eliminated that. Yeah, I give myself a lot of grace. I'm good at giving other people grace, and now I've turned it back on myself.
I love how much you're smiling in this interview. Like, you could just tell you're like, I didn't know you before, but you just seem light and happy and excited and wanting to share everything that you've learned.
Oh, yeah, I'm a sharer. And I'm usually optimistic, but this has really, really captured my imagination and it's improved my capacity. And I've always thought I'm a smart person, capable person, and I've got a lot to share, but I have had trouble developing my capacity so that I have the time to do that. And this has really helped me see that it won't be long before I really can put my unique purpose to work better.
So you're talking about this capacity and this unique purpose. And do you have more time? Like, I know you've been doing this less than 6 months, but with this increased mental capacity that you have, how are you using that?
Well, we live in a small farming community, and the closest school where my children went, that town has five houses, and there's a demand for more people to come and live there. It's very remote, but it's very beautiful and pristine, and there is a lot of jobs around on farms. So I've been on the town committee for some years, and we've decided we'd like to grow the town, get more housing blocks, and attract funding for some more community facilities, perhaps start a shop and a few other things to help the town grow. And so that's quite a project. And we've got started on that. We've made, put some hours into it. We've made real progress. We've made a master plan and we've made contact with the appropriate planning people in different levels of government. And we've had some town meetings, which I've helped facilitate and garnered a lot of support. And it's on paper now and, you know, it's going to happen. Yeah.
Wow. It's really big.
Yeah. And another one I had started, but this is allowing me to do more time. We have playgroup. I don't know what your equivalent word would be in America. From age 0 to 4, before you start school, you go once a week with your child for a few hours and you play with similar age kids. There's very little cost involved. You might pay, you know, $25 a year to join, but you just bring your own toys and it's just mothers getting together with kids. It's super important for children's development to have that socialization and opportunity to share and for mothers to share together. But it might be because of our isolation. Participation in that has been declining. And if your children don't participate in that 0 to 4 type activities, their readiness for school is not fully developed. And so I've wanted to get some funding to have coordinators to encourage mums to go along and find out if they're not going, why not, and what can be done to help encourage it. So I'm putting together a funding proposal and, yeah, I've been able to put more time into that as well.
We don't have that in the United States.
Really?
No. Wow. Preschool starts at the age of 3. So there's 3-year-old preschool, which is twice a week, and 4-year-old, which is 2 or 3 times a week. And it is a couple hours a day without the mother or father there. And then kindergarten starts around the age of 5. And it's usually half day, depending on the state that you're in. And then full-time school starts around the age of 6 or 7 in first grade. And then if you qualify, if your child is developmentally delayed or there's an issue, there is Help Me Grow, which is for 0 to 4. And that usually is done inside of the home where a therapist or a early childhood trained person will come to the house and work with the parent and the child on their developmental milestones, but it's not done in a group setting unless something has changed. I would love for whatever this is for Abby, but I do not think it exists. We have like, you know, we're capitalists. So you could do like Gymboree or like Mommy and Me, but it's not free. And there is a cost.
No, this is free. It's very simple. It's community-based. It. It's been going for, oh goodness, maybe 50 years, maybe more.
Nope.
And it's all over the country and it's highly encouraged. It's a really wonderful part of educational development, but its popularity is declining and that is a bad thing.
Yeah.
What are the impediments and, you know, let's find some ways to overcome this. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of work on that.
Well, it's a great socialization for new parents also. Like I think about, you know, my daughter, Abby, who's Grayson's almost 9 months at the time of this recording. And like she is not like, I talked to the neighborhood parents and I was in, you know, like those paid play groups, but she doesn't have any of that. So she doesn't have any other new mothers that she's talking to. I've been thinking about this all week. Like, I'm like, okay, she could start going to our church and the people who have kids in the nursery, but yeah, there's nothing like this in the United States.
Yeah. It's not church related. It's not organized by the state.
Right.
It's based in your neighborhood and you're encouraged to go and you're welcome to go. So you don't need to be invited. You don't need to be a member.
So great.
It's open to everybody. So everybody feels welcome. And it's very often all across Australia where you find your first best
friends.
Parent friend.
Yes.
Yeah. And the kids find their best friend.
Yeah.
And it's a very simple and a very powerful network.
I was literally thinking this week that is lacking for Abby. And if I could find that for her, it would be really helpful because everyone she's talking to are, you know, kids who don't have kids yet. And so all the socialists, can you watch Grace? And so I could go out and do this with my friends. And then she comes home and she's like, but I'm a mom now. And I know I'm a mom now and I have that mom brain. And so it's not even as fun as it was. So yeah. Wow. So cool. And also people in the United States, great business idea. Because it does, or also email me if it exists and I just don't know it exists. But I mean, I have a degree in early childhood. They didn't teach us this in college at all.
And I think if it existed, you would have known.
I would know. Yeah. What do you wish you knew sooner, Lisa?
Oh my goodness. If I had the Sunday basket or something like this at university, I probably could have been prime minister by now.
Yes. I vote for you. That'd be amazing.
for myself, I don't think I would have appreciated the power of it in high school. Certainly, I could have seen myself doing it in university. I planned to get a launch package for my nieces who are soon to finish high school.
Oh, that's so awesome. What advice would you give to someone who's just starting out?
Start with the Sunday basket. You don't have to buy it. And you've said that many times. You've got enough information online where you can just give it a try. I started with the workbox, but I could have easily started with the Sunday basket. Mm-hmm. And I think after a few months of using it, you'll see the power of it and you'll want to dive right in and get all, you know, be part of everything, all the products. But start with the Sunday basket. It's easy, it's inexpensive, and it's very powerful. It's life-changing.
Lisa, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for staying up so late at night to talk with me because we're like 12 hours apart. I really appreciate it. Love all of your ideas for us for how to make this better for international customers as well. And it was just such a delight to hear your story.
Absolute honor to speak with you and really appreciate the amazing things you're doing for the people of the world.
Thank you.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.